Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Nerd Left Field Podcast. My name is Jack. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Only Nerds. I'm here with my co-hosts, Ryan and James. You can find Ryan on Twitter at Ryan Garcia ESM, and you can find James on Twitter at James Valentinez. In today's podcast episode, we're going to be doing our top 10 first basemen. Obviously, I posted those already on Instagram and Twitter, but we'll be doing a more in-depth, sort of explanation of our rankings with a couple honorable mentions as well. And I'll be answering some of your questions that you submitted on my Instagram story earlier today. If you want to submit a question, as always, there's going to be a box on my story, and you just put your question in there. And if it's too long, you can always just DM it if you want. Let's get into it today with our first baseman. We're going to be doing it a bit differently today. We're all going to be reading off our individual list first with honorable mentions. So I will go first. All right, my honorable mentions.
Ryan, stop typing so damn loud.
My bad. I'm sorry. You need to fucking finish this honorable mention, man.
My honorable mentions are going to be, I'm going to give three. You don't have to give three, but I'm going to give three. Yandy Diaz, Jared Walsh, and Spencer Torkelson. Okay. And then first base list here. At number 10, I have Joey Votto. At number 9, I have Ty France. At number 8, I have Rhys Hoskins. At number 7, I have Brandon Belt. At number 6, I have Pete Alonso. At number 5, I have Paul Goldschmidt. At number 4, I have Max Muncy. At number 3, I have Freddie Freeman. At number 2, I have Matt Olson. At number 1, I have Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
All right, I'll go next. At number 10, seven honorable mentions. I have Rhys Hoskins, Jose Abreu, and Ty France. At number 10, I have Yuli Gurriel. At number 9, I have Jared Walsh. 8, I have Pete Alonso. 7, I have Joey Votto. 6, I have Brandon Belt. 5, I have Max Muncy. 4, I have Matt Olson. 3, I have Paul Goldschmidt. 2, I have Freddie Freeman. And 1, I have Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
All right. My honorable mentions are Walsh, Rizzo, and Belt. Probably because I forgot someone. Not going to lie. My honorable mentions are pretty much just me just remembering whatever first baseman I can remember. And then 10... I have Votto. 9, I have Torkelson. 8, I have Hoskins. Whoa, 7, I have France. Okay. Oh, you want me to slow down?
No, 8, you have Hoskins. Okay, good. Keep going. 7, France.
Yep. 6, I have Alonso. 5, I have Goldschmidt. 4, I have Muncy. 3, I have Freeman. 2, I have Olson. And then 1, I have Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Pretty sure we all had him at 1, right?
Yes. And then you have Olson.
At 2.
You have Muncy at 4.
Yeah, and Freeman at 3. I feel like the 2 to 4 for me are interchangeable. If you put those 3 in any order, I really don't mind. But that's
just I don't think Goldschmidt's that good. I think he's good, but I don't think he would be in that top 4 category, in my opinion.
I feel weird about Goldschmidt because the thing is, I wouldn't say he's too far off from, a Muncy, but,
But I would say he's clearly, not better.
I would say
it's kind of like Muncy does everything a little bit better. Maybe not fielding, but he's a better hitter for sure. His production is more sustainable.
Goldschmidt's a better hitter than a better fielder than Muncy.
I mean, he's a better fielder, but Muncy also has a lot of. We're not going to talk about this. We're not going to consider this for first base, but he's a lot of positional versatility. But they're not bad fielders at position. It's just Goldschmidt's better, and it depends on how much you care about first base defense, which obviously differs from person to person. And I would say there isn't a good argument for putting Goldschmidt ahead of Muncy, but it's close. Does that make sense? I think it makes sense. But do you guys understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think Muncy's just clearly the better offensive player between the two. Even though he got hurt and he missed and he played, had 100 fewer play appearances, he still finished with the same F4 as Goldschmidt did, finished with the better WRC+. I know that, again, their BSRs were similar, 2.1 to 2.3. So while Goldschmidt is a good base runner and steals a lot of bases, their base running value is pretty similar. I don't know. I have Muncy. I think Muncy's just enough better. He's better enough to beat definitively.
James, where did you have Ty France? I didn't hear it.
Oh, I had it as honorable mention.
Why didn't you have him in the top 10? I'm very curious. Because I don't really think there's an argument for him not to be in the top 10.
You don't what?
I don't think there's an argument for him not to be in the top 10.
He's like what, a 130-ish WRC plus hitter. Like everyone here is kind of the same hitter.
Yeah, but he's an elite
good defense.
Good defense. Like I don't really see a world where who'd you have at 9 and 10?
Walsh and Gurriel.
He's definitely better than Walsh.
Walsh can only hit righties, and even then, like, he's not even – like, he's good, but he's not quite as good as some people think, and I definitely think Frank's better. Like, I don't really see a world where Walsh is – why are you –
I don't know. Walsh, 2020, 2021, 131. France is about the same. I guess France is
– but France plays better defense. So.
And he can play more because he's not a.
Does he? He's a 17th percentile defender.
In what?
What do you use?
OAA.
That's infield OAA, man.
Come on. Let's grow up, right? Let's be better.
Oh, we want to use DRS. I don't understand
even
you guys.
Even if you use DRS, use ER. Well, no. Even if you use ER, like the problem with OAA infield OAA is just it's just a meh. It's a meh defensive metric, and even if you want to go by OAA,
and what makes it a meh defensive metric?
All defensive metrics are meh. What happened?
What?
The tracking is used. It's mainly for an outfielder for fly balls, and like even then, OAA. I mean DRS, I would say is definitely the best, but it's just you can accumulate it way too easy. So if you use like a scaled down version of DRS, then maybe you're getting somewhere. But it really depends, like. You know, Francisco Lindor had like a 20 OAA, but he had like what, 4 DRS and
a negative UZR.
I would say he had a good UZR. I don't know. Their defensive stats are all over the place, but I do think France is a better hitter than Walsh because he can play against righties and lefties. I also think he's a better defender.
Yeah. He's just going to play more and accumulate more value, and he'll be a better player. And he has been a better player for now. And, you
gonna,
know,
what makes you say he's going to play more?
Because he doesn't have to Walsh be a platoon.
Walsh isn't a platoon either.
He's like not. He literally cannot play against lefties. Like even if he does, like, he's just terrible.
I mean, he does play against lefties,
but he's awful against
them. It doesn't really matter if he plays or not. He's just not good against lefties.
He also just had a worse WRC plus this year, like flat out. Like yeah. I understand 2020 happened, but he seemed to have it was a 32 game sample size for him. Honestly,
well, I mean, it was a small sample size for everyone, but
right. But this, I'm just saying, like this year we see our first full. We see a larger sample size for both of them, and we see that Walsh over that sample size was slightly worse offensively, worse defensively. Both are bad base runners. Most first basemen are. Walsh projects slightly better. There's really not a methodology you could use to end up with Walsh over France other than, like, I don't know.
He had a better season both of the last 2 years. I guess last year France was better. But I don't love DRS the same way you do.
But what about UZR?
Walsh was terrible.
Walsh is an average. Walsh is a bad defender. I think Walsh is like an average defensive first baseman. France is definitely above average. And France was also just flat out the better hitter between the two. Like, just even if you don't like projections or expected, he was just a better hitter.
They have the same projections for next year anyways, so that doesn't really matter.
No, France is still a little bit better. He's just like, I think when you're better in production and projection, there's really no argument other than just I don't know.
I agree.
Right. Walsh, I guess I just looked at this. Walsh had a better WRC plus the last 2 years. France was better last year, but by what, 2? Maybe. So I mean like they're basically the same player to me.
That's fair. Okay. Go ahead.
I mean, just value-wise, they might as well be the same. Walsh is a little bit better on the bases. France is better in the field. They're the same hitter. How are they not the same hitter?
Well, I'm not saying they're not. I'm just saying, like, I think defense is inherently more valuable than base running is, especially since their base running gap. They're both negative defense. Like, they're not going to give you anything base running wise. Walsh this year had 585 plate appearances, 144 games. Probably because he can't play against lefty. So if he's going to cap out around 580 plate appearances, all France going to be putting up above 600 plate appearances consistently as long as he stays healthy. Which he hasn't really had complications with.
Well, he's the only player. The reason why Walsh didn't play as much was because they had 2 first basemen to begin the year. and he wasn't even a starter to begin the year. So
let me pull up something quickly. Yeah, so he started playing consistently from April 3rd on, and the season started for them on April 1st. So two games that really make up a 600. That's not.
Well, I mean, that's not what I'm talking about, though. They were platooning him for the first couple months.
No, he played. He started consistently. He was, because he was playing some outfield to start the year instead of first base.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So he was getting plate appearances. I don't think that, you know, I think there's a lot, like he has ridiculous barrel skills. He barrels a ton, and I know France doesn't, but France doesn't have, like, this is kind of weird too, where like France doesn't really do anything that stands out other than just like make a ton of, like, not strike out a lot. And yet he still projects really well offensively. That's kind of funny. I mean, I know it's probably because he killed it in the minors, and that projects, like, in AAA, he slung like 770.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like.
Yeah, he had a 372 isolated power, which is just unbelievable. But I don't know. I really like how France, I think France just, he's just going to be better. He's just already been better, and I think that's going to continue. But we should probably move on to something else, because we've been talking about Ty France and Jared Walsh.
Okay.
For these episodes. So
we have a little bit of a problem with ties, given that there's only three of us. So 10-9-8, we have a tie, and then 5-4, we have a tie. So we can start here. We've already been talking about France for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So tied for eighth. I guess we'll call Votto eighth because all three of us had him top 10. And then the other two, I don't know. But
what? Mean, the other two?
What?
The other two?
Okay, so at number 10, or at tied for eighth, we have Ty France, Rhys Hoskins, and Joey Votto.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck is that sound?
What's oh, that might have been. I think my little brother just. I don't know if I'm using the right mic because. Hold on. Yeah, you see, that makes sense because I'm using. Okay, that should be better. Sometimes I use my Blue Snowball mic just to run out any of the filter, and I forget sometimes to just change it to filter out any background noise. It's a weird story. Go ahead.
Okay, so for number. I'm going to call France 10, Hoskins 9, Votto 8, because that's the order that we have them in on my spreadsheet. But they're tied. So we already talked about France. Rhys Hoskins. Anyone have anything to say about Rhys Hoskins?
Rhys Hoskins
comes in as our number 9 first baseman.
I think it's a great spot for him.
Yeah, I think he's really underrated. I think he's really
it's good. A good spot for him.
Yeah.
I think he's really underrated.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, like, I would say the general consensus is that not top 10, and I would say that's kind of crazy. You know, Gavin Rodriguez, call him Gavin D-Rod, and I were talking about it last year, and he said that, you know, Hoskins has potentially be the best first baseman in baseball. I don't necessarily think that's the case, but, you know, he's still really good. He has, like, top 5 potential, I think, at least.
Dude, he absolutely crushed the ball this year. Like,
yeah, he's so good.
He's the thing that's weird about him that, you know, it kind of makes like the discrepancy in his UZR and DRS is kind of weird. Not sure about his OA. I haven't checked. I feel like he's just one of those players. Like, I think he started off the year pretty mid, and Philly fans are kind of like New York fans in a sense where, you know, they'll just choose to not like a player, and the consensus is they suck because said fan base doesn't like said player. Like, that happened with Stant for a while, where Stant wasn't good because Yankee fans really hated him. Kind of think it's the same case here.
I don't think I've really heard much about Hoskins not being good. He's a terrible defender, terrible base runner, but he hits the ball hard.
He walks a lot. Like, he's basically what you want as a hitter. There's nothing more you could want from a hitter, really.
He didn't walk that much this year compared to
walk 10.6%. Oh, yeah.
Really good. Compared to
like he used to be like a league leader in walks, and he's not really up there anymore.
1 year. Like, come on. Give me
No, but I get what he's saying. I get what he's saying.
I don't
care. Just this year. All
right, pal. And he hits 230, kind of sucks. I'll be honest with you. I don't see the potential for him to be the best first baseman in baseball, if that's what you guys are saying.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
I'm just saying, like, he's top 5 potential. I didn't say, like, he could be the best.
I don't think he'll ever be a top 5. I have him lower than both of you. He hits the ball hard. He hits the ball in the air all the time, which I guess it's good. He has a career average launch angle of 23 degrees, which is very high.
What's his line ride percentage?
So, I mean, what?
Let me check. What's his line ride
percentage? It's like 20%.
It's still like, hold on.
Can I do Rhys Hoskins in Houston?
Imagine Rhys Hoskins in Houston with the Crawford boxes. Like, that would be fucking ridiculous.
I mean, the ball is never on the ground for Hoskins. Like, 30% of the time, it's very low.
Well, let me see. Okay, so he has line right percentage. First of all, his O swing is 29.8, which has gone up since 2019, which is 24, which is ridiculous. But I think he could still get some of that 20. Like, he had ridiculous play at this point. It definitely hasn't been as good the last couple of years, but it's still pretty solid. As a line drive percentage, where'd it go?
20%.
That's still, like, pretty good. I think it could go up. Anyways, continue with the list.
All right. Coming in at number 8, we have Joey Votto of the Cincinnati Reds.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he had his best season in a few years this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fine. I don't really have a problem with that.
It's a perfectly good place for him.
It's fine.
Crushes the ball, but, like, so does everyone else.
Yeah, now I think this year was what? He started lifting. Did he start lifting the ball more? Like, he hit more line drives. There it was.
I mean, yeah, he lifted the ball more. He had a 93 miles per hour average exit velocity, which is absolutely insane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Question is, if that carries over. Like, that's kind of the thing with Votto, where it's like, if he was like 35, I would be a little more forgiving, but he's 38. It's a little different. And we've seen Votto go up and down a little bit. So, I don't know. It's weird to kind of rank Votto when...
I mean, yeah, because, like, 2015 to 18, he was probably the best first baseman in baseball. And then, like, the last 2 years, he was very, very bad. But this year, he came back. I don't know. Tough to rank him.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, like, he doesn't project particularly well, but...
Relative to the other guys, yeah, I guess. But
that's also because he's old, though.
Yeah, that's when you're 38. I mean, it's just hard. To, like, you're basically age. It's hard. You just age is weird. Like, guys just age differently, and it's obviously weird.
he's not the 160 WRC plus hitter he was from 2010 to 2018, but he's also not the 90 WRC plus hitter he was the last 2 years, or 100. So I mean, I don't know. I don't know where to put him.
I think 8. 10, I think 10's a good spot, but anyways, continue.
At 7, we have Brandon Belt, who Ryan left off, which I think
is...
Because Steamer, that's why.
But he also doesn't play a lot. Like, he doesn't play that much. Is he really, like, how sure are we that Brandon Belt is going to play, like, 130 games?
Well, he can play 130 games. He had a 160 WRC plus.
But he doesn't need to. He played
97 games, man.
Like, yeah, I know. But he literally led the league in WRC plus last season.
Played more. His numbers would go down, but his WAR would go up because of the accumulation. So,
right, but I'm just saying, like, I'm not saying he can't be top 10. I had him as an honorable mention, but last year he was 9th in F WAR, right? And so in his break, like, last year he was 9th in F WAR. So a guy who's kind of getting up there in age, he's going to be 34 now. We really have only seen him perform well in really limited sample sizes. How sure are we that he can play 130 games, 100, you know, with that level of WRC plus? I know he changed his swing.
I'm not saying he's going to be a 160 WRC plus over 100.
Not 60. I said one, like 30. How convinced are we that he's going to play 140, 130 games? And
I don't really see why. He's pretty, I don't think his numbers would decrease that much to the point where he's not. Go ahead.
He's hitting the ball harder than he ever has in his career. He's barreling it way more. He's bringing the ball down from, like, his last 4 or 5 seasons. He was up in, like, the 20s, launch angle, whatever. His line drive percentage was down this year, but he was hitting more fly balls. I don't know. His Statcast numbers are weird.
Right.
But the point is that he's barreling the ball more than he ever has, at like 17% the last 2 seasons, which is very, very high. So
right, but the guys that had ahead of him, so Vlad, Olsen, Freeman, Muncy, Goldie. I don't know. Why do I write Goldie? I know how to spell Goldschmidt. Alonzo. And France and all those 7 guys are better, just flat out better than him in F WAR. And that's part of it's because they just played more.
For first baseman, like, is it like a
right? Draw? No, I understand, but just hear me out here. Hoskins would have been better if he didn't get hurt. Probably. He probably – no, actually, I'm not
so sure. Well, how are you going to take away from Belt for not playing?
No, 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 but it's different playing. Because Belt is consistent. Like, Belt is different. Belt is – I think Belt's offense is a lot less sustainable than Hoskins is. And I think that's just up to personal preference. Then I have Votto ahead of him, and Votto was just flat out better than he was. That's so. Though I mean, I get it.
Was he though? Like, was Votto much?
Votto
last year, like,
yeah. He's gonna have to sustain a 161 WRC plus to be seventh. If he sustained a 161 WRC plus, he'd be top three. We're assuming he's not. If he,
right,
I just don't think. Steamer, obviously, you know, 2019 weighs him down a
bit. But do you think those extra 30 games that Votto played is going to bring Belts down by 20 points?
I just don't think he's going to sustain a 158 WRC plus, because if the guy is going to I know that's not what you're saying, but here's how I'm seeing it. All right. He's in his career, his best years were is putting up like a 140, 136 WRC plus. I don't think he's suddenly going to be 34 and play a full season and surpass that. So I think he's going to be around the 130 WRC plus bat, and I think he's going to be putting up maybe 100 games at most. And the defense is declining too, which doesn't really bode well for a guy who's getting injured so much. I don't think the defensive value is going to be what it once was. You know, he's like, he put up in 2019, he was a 5 DRS guy, 1.6 UZR per 150. 2018, 11 DRS, 8.7 UZR per 150. 2020, negative UZR, no defensive run save. This year, negative 4 defensive run save, positive UZR. It just feels like the defense is going the wrong way. I don't think the offense is going to continue to sustain itself, and I don't think he's going to be playing that many games. And then as for Torkelson, I just think Torkelson is going to come up and be, you know, put himself as the consensus top 10 first baseman. Because Torkelson has just absolutely incredible power and projects very, very well. So I could be wrong about Brandon Belt. And I think I put him as an honorable mention? Yes, I did. I could be completely wrong about him. He's around my 11th best first baseman. If you have him 10, 8, 9, 8, hell, even 7, I'm not going to argue with you on it too much, but that's just my reasoning behind it.
I think it's tough to say that a guy, like, I understand that Torkelson has great power. But I don't understand how you I understand why you do it, but I just don't agree with putting a guy who's never played a game over a guy
who has played.
Not a major league game. He's played 120 minor league games, and it's not even like he's lighting up the minor leagues. He had a 130 WRC plus in AAA.
Yeah, he had 130 WRC plus in AAA. Think about it. So here's his first professional season in the minors
Steamer projects him to have the same WRC plus in the majors as he did in the minors. Absolutely, I understand there's a year of improvement there, but that is very rare that a guy comes up and is the same. Also,
not really true. Do you have evidence on that? Torkelson came up and in his full, so he started off pretty slow in AAA, and then in his final 31 games he continued to be like just slugged 600. 990 OPS, 157 WRC plus, struck out only 18.4% of the time. And that's one big thing if you want your regular power to translate to game power. If he had like a big hole, like if he was striking out like 30% of the time, I would agree with you. And I would say that I'd be worried about how he would translate to the major league level. I think he'll have like a rough April, maybe a rough May or half of May, and then he'll just completely turn it on. That's usually what happens with a lot of these younger guys. And I mean, I can see it. I understand leaving Torkelson off, but I'm going to put Torkelson on there. I don't even think Steamer has him top. I don't think Steamer even puts him as a first baseman. So
Steamer has him as a third baseman, but they also have him as a 130 WRC plus hitter, which I think is absolutely egregious.
And they have him as a 2.0. They have him as a 2. Well, that's not. I don't think it's egregious because I don't think he can be egregious because I think it makes sense. But as for first baseman, his Steamer F4 would have him like right.
Well, actually, no. 11. Steamer doesn't have him at all on their list or on their like. Leaderboards. He's not here.
Yeah, so he'd be tied with Ty France, which and they have him as 10th Steamer F4. So he's probably a front. Like if you don't put him in the top 10, like it's not like I'm saying, oh, you have to have him top 10 per se, but I do think he's top 15 at least. So yeah.
I just think it's tough to call a guy who's actually never played a major league game a top 10 major league first baseman.
No, are we really sure that Spencer Torkelson actually exists?
Yeah, I think that might be a point. Like, I'm not sure if he's actually real. Maybe.
I mean, I've never even seen the guy on TV, so.
I've never seen the guy.
He may just be voices inside my head.
He even plays baseball.
Okay. And then at number 5, No, number six, we have Pete Alonso, New York Mets.
Universal. Yeah, makes sense. Yeah.
That I think all of us had him at...
That's the only spot you get at Pete Alonso, I think.
No, actually, I had him eighth.
Why? Why?
I had him below Votto and below Belt.
I could see Votto outplaying him, but I wouldn't bet on it.
Because both Votto and Belt have been much, much better the last 2 years. So
Much better?
If I did tiers like for first base, I would have the top five, and then I'd have Alonso in his own category, and then I'd Belt below him.
Okay. I would definitely in my list if I tiered him, I'd put Guerrero on his own, and then I'd put the next four, and then I'd put Alonso on top.
You know what I'm saying? Like I would have
what? I think Guerrero is so much better than Freeman that like
I agree. I'm just
saying, I agree. No, I think
I wasn't meaning that. Yeah, I agree. Like so.
And then my like third tier, I'd have Alonso, Belt, and Votto, and then go from there.
But, I will say this though. Do you think a 7-point gap in WRC plus between Alonso and Votto, considering Alonso is not 38, and do you not like? I think that should help. I think that should help Alonso's case here. If we're talking about going into 2020, if that's a hypothetical year, and also Alonso ultimately isn't going to matter too much on the surface, and I know it's a little hypocritical because I'll say it doesn't matter. But Alonso didn't see a decrease in his barrel rate. A drastic one. No, I actually increased his barrel rate by around 7%. So that should hold up well.
You're saying.
Oh.
But
can you hear me now?
Yeah. Something about his barrel
rate. Okay, what up? Yeah, so his barrel rate was the highest of its career this year. His hard hit rate was the highest of his career this year. His launch angle was the same as it was his rookie year. His exit velocity was the highest of its career. And he shrunk his K percentage in comparison to his rookie year by 7%. Now, strikeouts don't matter in a vacuum, but when you maintain your quality of contact and drop your strikeout rate, that's usually a very good thing, and I think that should help Alonso's offense going forward. I also think that it kind of sucks that he plays in Citi Field. Like, if he played anywhere else, with exception like Kansas City, I think he would hit a lot, like, significantly better. But he happens to be a fly ball hitter in Citi Field, which kind of sucks. I'm not going to say that like should be the reason why you should have him higher, but that's just me pointing that out because I don't know.
All right.
I just think, okay. He actually had plus five DRS last year, which is very surprising. But he's
a solid defender.
I think he's the worst base runner out of everyone, which I know they're all bad base runners, but like when you're putting up negative nine runs, that's like a lot. Over the last 3 years, I don't know. I think it's – I just had both those guys higher because they're better hitters the last couple of years, and I don't – and I know they're way older, so I could see the argument that, like, you could see regression there, but Alonso has also, quote-unquote, regressed from his rookie year, so.
That's been, like, his juice balls, I think.
I actually think he's going to be better next year than he was his rookie year.
Right. Wait, you think he has like a 150 to risk about 6 years? I don't know about all that.
No, I think he has a 150, but I think he could.
At number five, tied for fourth, we have Max Muncy. I don't know. I struggle to put him up here because like you guys were saying, he's gonna miss half the season. So
I don't think it means he's gonna be the top half when he plays. So
yeah, but like if you guys are major list based on projecting next year, like if you're trying to project his value next year, his value is going to be less because he's not going to play.
When I made the list, I didn't know he's going to play half the year,
which was just you being ignorant because this report has been out for months.
No,
here's the thing: you don't know the severity of the injury because major league teams have been able to contact their players, so we don't know how he's actually recovering or when he'll be back. So.
I mean, he has a torn UCL, and I think they're meaning Tommy John.
Are they? But they can't make that decision, and we just don't know what it is. Like we know it's a torn. I know that, but for position players, usually recovery time is a little bit more forgiving.
Of course,
you're not throwing. But yeah, so I actually don't. We actually like have no idea what he's gonna do or how he's gonna like. I don't know.
There was a report earlier in the offseason that he'd be out for the season, but I don't think that's the case anymore. I don't know. It's tough. But either way, he's still great hitter, positional versatility. He's actually a very good defender too, I believe. Yes, yes.
I think.
Yeah, he I'm had. Not sure, actually. He had said he had plus six DRS, plus three WRC, and not plus plus three UZR. I don't know.
He's
I feel like we kind of had a consensus with him.
He's a free agent after next year, I think. Actually, he has a 2023 club option. Yeah, Muncy.
But that will get picked up because it's going to be
nothing. But he's. I'm just saying, he after 2023 throw, he's free. But he's probably still to Dodgers.
That's 2 years. Like,
yeah.
I mean, that'll get picked up easily. The AAV on his contract's $9 million. So
he's also like a good defensive second baseman, which is like he's he is 6 defensive runs saved, 6.3 UZR. I know 2020 was a bad defensive year, but 2019 good defensive year.
He had -2 OAA last year at second base.
Okay, but the two out of the three defensive metrics and OAA
at second base, he would be the best second baseman in baseball. His defense would be fine. Like I would still put him there.
I don't know. I'm better.
I still think Marcus Semien.
You have a fucking boner if you fucking love Semien for no reason.
I don't see a way that you could argue that this guy with who the last three seasons has never been better than him is better than him. But go for it. Make the argument.
Because past production does not correlate exactly with future production. And the idea that past production will always correlate with future production is close-minded.
An average
Max Muncy over the last three seasons has not had one time a season better than Marcus Semien.
Okay,
right now he's better.
James, do you realize how like volatile, like how volatile, like top 10 WRC plus first year, 20 or 30, how volatile that is in a season, or like year to year? Do you know how volatile
Muncy's also hurt, and Semien doesn't get hurt. He's too good for that. So, All right, at number four, we have Paul Goldschmidt of the St. Louis Cardinals, who I had higher than you guys. You guys both had him.
I already talked about Muncy Goldschmidt, so no complaints, though.
What?
We already talked about Muncy Goldschmidt, so, I mean, no complaints, really.
Like, I mean, I don't know. I feel like this is kind of interchangeable. I had I have Goldschmidt 3, Olsen 4, Muncy 5.
Olsen should be at least top 3. Olsen's definitely top 3.
How is Olsen 5?
Olsen's definitely top 3.
I had Olsen 4, but...
Oh, how's Olsen 4?
Because I like Goldschmidt more than him.
Why do you like what's Goldschmidt do better than Olsen?
Well, he's... I had him higher.
What does he do better?
What does he do better than Olsen?
Let's go back. Other than run the bases, I made the list yesterday.
The only thing that Goldschmidt does better than Olsen is run the bases. Olsen's a way better hitter. He's also a way better defender. Like, come on. All right, come on.
I would not call Olsen a way better hitter.
I would call Olsen.
He is a way better hitter.
Olsen hit 195 in 2020.
Come on, this is not ball don't stop. This is deep drive pot, right? Come on.
Ball don't stop. I don't care. Olsen had a 103 WRC plus in 2020, and
the Paul Goldschmidt in 2019 had a 117 WRC plus, which is a larger sample size in 2020.
Because he's a Yankee. That's why.
Yeah, which is also longer ago. Who's a Yankee? Olsen. I like Matt Olsen. I think the fact that people said he was better than Freeman last year was absolutely awful, but...
He is. Now he is.
I don't think he is, but...
No, he is now. He is. He just is.
What's he better at? He's not a better hitter.
He was better offensively. He projects better. I think he's slightly better defensively.
Freeman had quite the unlucky first half, but...
Okay, but that's because he hammered the ball into the ground. Of course, you can't have a 43% ground ball rate as a guy who's not that fast and offensive groups. That's his fault.
I mean, okay, is it really though? Like
that's when you hit pulling
the pitchers are better, you know?
No, dude, it doesn't matter how hard you hit the ball. Hitting ground balls is just terrible. You should never like hitting ground balls is an awful thing, and we should get rid of it in society.
Yandy.
also Matt Olson's a strikeout king, and I don't like strikeouts.
You literally cut he's under 20%
king. Time out.
He actually brought his strikeout rate way down last year, which is like massive improvement.
Did you know that Matt Olson has less strikeouts than Cole Goldschmidt does in 2019? So
what? I'm looking at Freeman. I don't know.
Are we talking about Freeman versus Olson?
All right, well, we have Freeman. We also have Freeman and Olsen tied because we have every fucking player in the world tied. God damn it.
Because of Jackson not showing up and not being dedicated.
It really is. Yeah. But I don't know. At number one, we have Vladimir Guerrero Jr., who is by far the best first baseman in baseball. I can't even see. I honestly cannot see an argument that you could make that you could say that Freddie Freeman's better than him anymore, which I've seen some people have him higher.
It's just Braves fans. That's it.
No, I don't think it's just Braves fans. I think
it is just Braves fans.
It really is just Braves fans.
Exclusively Braves fans.
And Quinn.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to questions here. Let me pull some questions. Do a couple questions.
Where are we going with that?
We're doing a couple questions here, and then we'll finish up here. All right. Let's see what we got here. What owner should sell the team? Sell their stake in respective teams. Like, what owner should sell teams? Like, give us
John J. Fisher.
Top three owners that should sell their teams: Stu Sternberg, John Fisher, and who else should sell their team?
I would say, let's think. The Rockies owner, who's that guy? Dick Monfort?
Oh yeah, Dick.
He's definitely. He sold already, or is he sold? Because I know that their GM is gone.
No, he didn't sell it. Yeah, Burgess is gone.
So he should go.
I feel like this is a dumb question. Like, you can't, if you're making money off of it, why would you sell it? Like, I understand you guys are talking about it from a solely baseball perspective, but it doesn't make any sense to me.
But that's where the question was being asked from, James. Stop being a party pooper, man. Answer the question.
What did I just do? I fucked something.
Answer the question. Yeah, you fucked up this question segment. We were having good vibes, man. Answer the question, dude. I'm joking.
Wait, hold on.
I'm not joking. Figure it out, James.
There we go.
I was joking.
I switched the order on my thing on accident. Okay. Keep going.
All right. Who says no? Forrest Whitley. This is Astros for Reds. Forrest Whitley, Tyler Whitaker, and Jake Myers for Luis Castillo and Amir Garrett. Who says no? Definitely
the Reds.
They're going to want more.
Now, if they offered that for, like, I just don't think
Whitley has that much value anymore.
Yeah, I would agree.
Maybe this was like 3 years ago, then maybe they would. But
yeah, but coming off of multiple injuries,
he's not that valuable.
And steroids, too.
But, like, he's Myers?
Yeah.
And wait, they said Whitley, Myers, and who?
Tyler Whitaker.
Yeah, this is this couldn't get, like, I don't even know if this can get, like, Sonny Gray.
It could probably get Sonny Gray, but it probably
I don't know. You don't think he could get a better offer for Sonny Gray?
He probably still want more. Jake Myers is okay. I think Willie's kind of hit or miss.
No, I think he's miss. He is miss. He's not good.
Who will win AL Cy Young in 2022? Why is it Shane Baz? I like Shane Baz a lot. But I question the volume they'll have, so I'll definitely just go with Gerrit Cole.
I'm going to give a non-Gerrit Cole answer because I feel like the favorite is going to be Gerrit Cole for obvious reasons because he's the best pitcher in the American League.
He's the second best pitcher in New York.
Oh, my God.
No, actually third. Third best pitcher.
Yeah, he's the second best pitcher in New York.
No, I actually forgot that Max Scherzer is in New York now, so he's actually the third best pitcher in New York.
Yeah, okay, cool. I'm going to say, I don't want to pick Shane Bieber because he already won one recently. Yeah.
So you're going to look at Devers here?
Jose Berrios is winning it next year, by the way.
I'll go with MLB Nerds Instagram follower, Lance McCullers Jr.
I'm going to say Justin Verlander might win it. Volume. Fuck. I forgot. Volume matters.
Well, I don't see a volume issue with Verlander other than the fact that he's coming off.
You fucking Tommy John surgery. He's not going to get But
LOJ, AL is tough. I feel like AL pitchers kind of suck.
No. The whole Astros, to be honest with you, like the top three Astros pitchers, I could see winning it.
The Astros are the best in the league, though, by a country mile.
I don't love Valdez.
I know, because you're a big Maxwell Resnick and XRV.
I mean, I don't think Valdez will win a Cy Young, but I mean, he's three, and like let's say the Astros, like that's their three. The Astros are still by far the best team in the American League. It's not even close. Like there's no one close to the American League. Who's
if the
close?
Yankees get Correa and Olsen and Manaea,
but that hasn't happened. I'm saying right now.
It's not, I just, a lot of offseason left, but right now the Astros.
Right. I'm not – yeah, obviously I'm not going to make a – that the Astros are going to remain the best team without finishing off the offseason because things can still happen. But as of right now, the Astros are the best pitching staff in the American League, in my opinion, at least rotation-wise, open-wise, rotation-wise.
I still don't know if I love that take.
I would still
am I forgetting someone?
I think we could say comfortably the top two rotations in the AL are the Yankees and Astros.
No, right? The Yankees do
have a better rotation than the Astros.
Not the Yankees, but the Astros. I'm saying the top two.
But I don't think we're not a better rotation than them.
The Yankees are even second.
Then who would be
I'd say the Rays are second, right? Would the Rays be second?
There's a bunch of long relievers, which is fine. They're definitely the second best pitching staff.
All right,
the best pitching staff. I would
say they're the best pitching staff.
I think the Blue Jays have a better rotation than the Yankees too.
Well, I didn't know the Blue Jays, but I don't know. It depends on how Severino could come back and be a top 10 pitcher. I would not be surprised. He also come back and suck. I would not be surprised. Like if he is pitching to his potential, then the Yankees will have the best rotation in baseball. I'm not in the AL, better than the Astros, but I don't think it will happen. I don't think we can bank on
Severino. I don't think he comes back and is like.
I just said like you can't be wrong.
I actually think it's virtually impossible. Like, okay, I'm gonna say this right now. I think there's like a 1% chance Luis Severino comes back and is bad at baseball. He's either
it's gonna be difficult.
I'm not saying he'll be bad at baseball. I'm just saying
he also reworked his changeup. Like,
no, I just think it's impossible for him to come back. Like, I can't see a world in which with that arsenal he'll come back and he'll be anything worse than like a really fucking good reliever. Like, I'm sorry, I can't see it. He was throwing 94-95. He was throwing 94-95 and was absolutely embarrassing hitters with 94-95.
We're talking about like, as a frontline starter. Like when he was healthy, he was a top 10 starter. Like to go back to that, I don't know if he can. If he can, the Yankees are the best rotation in the AL. I'm not gonna bank on that. But you know, that's kind of up in the air. And I think we should start talking about the Yankees, but real quick, I'll end on that. I'll end the Yankee segment here on this last part here. Like, and we're talking about AL Cy Young guys, Luis Severino, if he comes back, could definitely be a guy if you're looking for a dark horse.
I know what to pick now.
Who do you know?
So I think, like, thinking about like quality of opponent and then innings pitch, all that stuff, I think Dylan Cease has a really good shot at this award because I don't want to beat a dead horse, but we all kind of understand that the White Sox aren't really going to be playing like great teams all the time. And I don't think it's going to matter too much in Cy Young voting. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Dylan Cease is also, like, really fucking talented. Like, all he's got to do is figure out his command. And he took a big step last year. And he'll go ahead and he can go ahead and win a Cy Young. So I'll pick Dylan Cease.
I agree. All right, let's move on to a couple more here. We'll do two more, and then we'll head out for the day. I totally just closed it for no reason. Let's see. Where'd it go? Kyle Hendricks bounced back. Will that happen? I know James is gonna say yes. I will say no.
Yes.
Okay, he was so bad last year that it's hard for me to see him being so bad again. So
pretty good.
Yeah, he's just weird. Like I don't. He's like he's always been like a guy who's like a regression candidate, and he finally regressed. So like, I don't know. This is weird. He's always been a regression candidate. He finally regressed. And it wasn't really like anything weird happened. He just kind of got hammered. I don't know.
Yeah.
All right. I think he'll be fine.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, Hendricks is tough because he still last year just his main problem was the home run. And it would kill him. I mean, like, I stopped watching Cubs baseball halfway through the season, but I stopped watching Cubs baseball on July 31st because it wasn't worth my time anymore. But I do have to say, like, with Kyle Hendricks, at least in the first half of the season when I was actually watching the games, he would just leave shit over the plate all the time. Stuff that, like, normally he can get away with because guys will swing and miss at stuff right down the middle against Hendricks, but
he's not a pure pitcher. He's not a pure ball player.
He is a pure ball player. Ball Don't Stop would love Kyle Hendricks.
Well, I think I should ask Ball Don't Stop to do a Kyle Hendricks breakdown later today.
Actually, you should because his walk rate was way up from 2020 and even before that. Like, I don't know. And his strikeout rate, even as low as it was before, was way down. I think he'll be fine, though. So I don't know if he's I don't know if he's a sub three ERA pitcher, but him and Stroman will be fun, and I will actually maybe watch them.
Last one here is Pete. Where would you rank Pete Walker amongst pitching coaches? I'll say top seven.
I'll say I don't really know, because who gives a fuck what a pitching coach is doing? Like,
yeah, it's hard to rank pitching coaches.
It's hard to rank any coaches or managers. Like I don't know what to do with them.
Player development, like Blue Jays pitching development. Where would you rank that?
Oh, it's top 10.
It's pretty good. I mean, like, Alec Manoah is a god, so, like...
Alec Manoah is mid, but Robbie Ray changes his career, obviously. Kevin Gausman could get better. He could get worse. I don't know. He could stay the same. He's still...
I don't know. The Giants also have really good pitching development.
The Giants, yeah, pitching Giants are incredible.
Top three, all right? It's clearly top three.
So, maybe, like, fortunately, the best pitching coach in baseball is very clearly Matt Blake.
Larry Rothschild.
Yeah, Larry Rothschild.
Matt Blake is probably the best pitching coach in baseball, behind maybe Kyle Snyder, like realistically.
Well, Brett Strom is still around, so I'd say Brett Strom's one.
Oh, Strom is probably better.
Yeah.
But it's also because he's a long – like, Matt Blake is so good. Sam Breen is also so good. And I'm not going to go on a Yankees tangent here. I just think they're kind of good. So.
No, I think that, you know – think about it. He took – he had, like – he didn't even – I think he had, like, out of what Strom and – Snyder had, he probably had the worst talent in his pitching staff.
Yeah.
Or at least, and he conjured up a fucking incredible pitching staff. So Matt Blake is the guy. And I, like, honestly, like, Matt Blake is one of those people where, like, you know, no, I'm not gonna go that far.
All right. That'll do it for this episode of the Rabbit Left Field podcast. If you like what you saw, please leave us a 5-star rating, whatever platform you're listening to. Make sure to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Deep Drive Pod. Make sure to follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Ellen Winters. Make sure to follow Ryan on Twitter at Ryan Garcia ASM. Make sure to follow James on Twitter at James Valentinas. Make sure to unfollow Jackson, because he wasn't here with us today, at Jackson Dells 2. Go and follow him. If you're already following him, go and follow him. It's been a Deep Drive Left Field by Castellanos, and we will see you in episode number 49.
Also, make sure to follow Ball Don't Stop, or Baseball Don't Stop.
No, it's actually at MLB Don't Stop. Make sure you follow at MLB Don't Stop for good traditional baseball content for my old head listeners. I imagine this.
Yeah.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.